Yeah, and thank you, Deb, for allowing us to do this with your family here. I mean, that's done in private, but we thought it'd be a good idea if everybody saw anointing service again. It's been a while since we did one. In a service. Is it a year? Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you're working in your family here, in your body. We thank you for what you're going to teach us this morning. So open our hearts, open our minds to what you have for us is what we ask in your name. Amen. We're kind of a little bit out of order in our sermons just because of schedules and things like that. This was supposed to be the last sermon. But Barry will be finishing up sermons on giftings and gifts next Sunday. So hopefully I don't take any of your ideas away this morning. But we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning. If you hear that, what do you think of?
Love.
It's often referred to as a great love chapter. But we're going to look at it, I think, through a little different lens. Sometimes when we talk about love, we look at that chapter. But when Paul wrote that, there's a number of chapters together there, and the whole purpose of that had to do with gifts. In 1 Corinthians 13 is the, or 1 Corinthians 12 would be the supernatural gifts that Mike spoke on about 2 weeks ago, I think it was. But in each instance of the three sets of gifts, when Paul writes about them, he has some instructions that go along with those gifts. The first set, the motivational gifts, which are gifts from God, and we looked at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, where they're listed. He had two instructions for us at the beginning before he listed the gifts. The first instruction was, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. In other words, he's telling us not to be arrogant, not to be conceited, not to be proud. And the second instruction that he gave was that we're a body. We are a body, and we're meant to work together. So this was written to the church at Corinth, but I think it could be written to every church today. Every church is a body of believers that love the Lord, and we need to act like a body, like a family. But even sometimes families have some issues, don't they? And so 1 Corinthians 13 is meant to help us through some of those issues that we might run into. The second set of gifts, which Barry will be talking about next Sunday from Ephesians 4, I think they're all listed in verse 11. And he gives some instructions there as well. One of the things he says is to be humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love. The NIV says bearing, King James says forbearing. I'm not sure what some of your translations say. But when I go back to the original Greek, what's translated bearing, forbearing, or whatever you have in your translation, the original Greek meant to sustain, to bear, to endure. That's interesting. And to hold up. So that carried a lot of weight, I think, in one word that Paul was using. But I had to think to sustain, to hold up someone, to bear them, it seems like you're helping them. But then he puts that word in there to endure. That's one of the meanings from the Greek word, to endure. So sometimes we have to endure one another, I think, as well in using our gifts. And I had to think of the illustration that we used. I think Mike used it, and I kind of made one up about Kathy dropping your dish today when you came in. And the prophet says, you know, Kathy, you need to use two hands, not one. And the person with grace said, oh, Kathy, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for you. Which person would you rather have respond to you? You know, it's easy. We always like the person that has the grace and, you know, the compassion for you. And yet God intends all of us work together. So there's that person that's going to say, use two hands, Kathy. And so sometimes we have to endure one another when we're using gifts. The other thing that Paul uses again is we need unity. We're a body and we need to work together. Do you see a kind of a pattern here in your gifts? And then the third set of gifts would be the gifts given from by the Holy Spirit. They're the supernatural gifts, and they're from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. And it's a little different. Reading between the lines, I think one of the things we see that Paul is saying is that Jesus needs to rule your life. Jesus needs to be in control of your life for you to receive those gifts. And the other thing is, and probably the most extensive passage on this is in chapter 12, is that we're a body and we need to work together. And so we see the same thing over and over and over. So there's a reason when God says the same thing over and over and over. We need to realize that our giftings are meant to work together and we're to use them as a body. And when we do that, it's most effective. The other thing we see in all three instances of gifts is each set of gifts, Paul also talks about love. And again, the most time that and the most verses he spends are in Corinthians. The whole chapter is kind of dedicated to using our gifts in love. And so that's very important, and we're going to look at that this morning. I think we're going to start, somebody has the first three verses. We're going to look at the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's see what it says about love.
Turn this on. Hello? If I could only push a button. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I would speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever.
I should almost feel like I should have you read that again. Do you get the idea of how important love is? I mean, the gifts that he's talking about there's a couple that he mentions. I think I can pick out tongues, prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, faith, which are all supernatural gifts. And then I think also I can say that he's talking about giving. It talks about giving at the end. But can you imagine, love is more important than being able to move a mountain with faith. Or love is more important than all the knowledge in the world that you could possess. So it's very clear that Paul is saying our gifts don't matter a whole lot if we don't have love in our lives when we use them. The other thing that I think is pretty serious is in verse 3, when he talks about dying for the Lord, maybe. Some theologians would say it's dying for the wrong purposes, but if you would be willing to sacrifice your life for the Lord, if you don't have love, it doesn't matter. That's pretty serious, isn't it? And so I want to take it a step farther. Someone has 1 John 4, 19 to 21. I'd like you to read that scripture. Chuck, you have that?
We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
So what I'm getting out of this scripture is I may think that I love God enough that I can die for him. But if I can't love my brothers and sisters, I can't love God. That's what Scripture tells us. That's pretty serious. So again, I think it really makes it really evident how important that we have love in our lives. And so I think the thing that has to happen, and I think we know this, we need to die to self. We need to die to self so we can love God as he intends us to love him. And if we can do that, then we can love others the way God intends us to love others. So our gifts are given to us for a couple purposes. One of them is that we can build each other up as a body. We're a family here at New Beginnings. Our gifts are given to benefit each other, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to minister to one another, to motivate one another. Also, our gifts are given to spread the gospel message to those who don't know the Lord. And so we're using our gifts inwardly as a body so that we can encourage, we can challenge, we can build each other up so that we can go out and tell others, using our gifts in that way. But for all this to happen, we have to have love. There's two things, I think, that need to happen. And we need love for both these to happen. They're not going to happen if we don't have love. And the first thing has to do with our vertical relationship. We need to be able to love Jesus Christ. We need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have a great love and a passion for Jesus Christ. We have to love Jesus Christ so that we want to do whatever he asks us to do. That's a pretty deep love. If we're willing to give up whatever we want to do and do what Jesus wants us to do. But that's the first thing we have to do. The other one is a more horizontal thing. We need to have a relationship with each other. We need to have a relationship in the body of Christ. Now, one of the reasons I like smaller churches is you tend to know almost everybody. And it's important that we have a relationship where we can learn to love one another. We need to learn to encourage one another. We need to have a deep love for each other. The same kind of love we have for Jesus Christ, we have to have for each other. That's not easy, but that's what Christ is asking us to do. And we have to have a passion to minister to other people, to put other people before us. I think how many people here saw Jesus Revolution? I don't know. I think a good... For those of you didn't, I think you'll get the picture. But there was a scene in the movie that was very touching, and I think it demonstrates love for others. And it has to do, these are real life people. Lonnie, I have to say his last name, Frisbee, because I think it's a cool last name. Lonnie Frisbee, I never heard that before, was the guy in the movie who had a passion for, he was like a street minister. And so he was out ministering to people. And the other person, whose name was Greg, he was sitting in the middle of the street, or by the side of the street, and it's pouring down rain. Do you remember that scene? This guy sitting by the side of the street, pouring down rain. He's at a port in his life where he's really at a place he could go one way or the other. He could go for the Lord or against the Lord. He really is searching. But he had a bad day, and he's sitting in the rain, and Lonnie Frisbee comes up and sits in the rain beside him. Now, how many people like to go out and sit in the rain when it's raining? That's not something that we typically would like to do. But that may be what Jesus calls us to do. It's things we don't want to do, but they're what's needed for the kingdom. And it in real life, what happened is Lonnie became a mentor for Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie is still living today, I believe, and I think, is it the Vineyard Church that he was... I forget, but he's one of the big church organizations in California, I think, that he was involved with. And that all became from that relationship. And probably started sitting in the rain, and Lonnie was just there to give him support, not saying a whole lot. So how do we know what Jesus wants us to do when it comes to loving. How are we supposed to love other people? We need to understand what love is. And so we're going to go to verses 4 to 8 because there's 15 things he says there about loving. So if you have that, Pauline, I think you can go ahead and read that.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boasted or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever, but prophecy and speaking is unknown language, and special knowledge will never disappear.
Okay, we're going to start. The first thing is that we see is love is patient. When I was looking at each one of those, I looked at the original Greek word to get a little bit of an idea what it meant. Also, I was looking at commentaries just to see how men were translating. So it's kind of a little hodgepodge of both those together. But love is patient. That means that we need to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. So what that means is maybe someone does something to you that maybe hurts you. It means that we need to not retaliate. That's our human instinct. If someone does something that you don't like, you want to get back at them. God's saying, no, we don't retaliate. We need to have patience in some situations. It means we're slow to anger. Means when we're mistreated or abused, we don't get angry right away. It means we have to, here's that word I don't like again, enduring tribulations. Sometimes it could be because of another person within the body that you might have to endure tribulations. Sometimes it might be what a circumstance you're going through in life and you wonder, oh, God, why do I have to go through this? What's the purpose of this? Why is this happening? Sometimes we just have to be patient and endure what's happening in our life. And see what God's going to do with that. It means not being resentful, quick to forgive. The second thing, also in verse 4, is that love is kind. That's a little bit easier. It means just do good to people that you're in contact with. Be gentle, be courteous. Now think of the person that you have the most problem with. Maybe it's someone at work, someone, your neighbor. You just can't stand that person. In my case, sometimes it's a customer that comes in the store. It's just like, oh, no, I don't have time for this person. We're to be gentle. People you don't like, be courteous. We're to be kind to everybody, not just the people we like to be kind to. Also in verse 4, love does not envy. Did you notice that Dale came in a Lamborghini this morning? Boy, I would like a car like he has. Did you? Dale's not paying attention, he didn't. Sometimes we just have this thing that worldly things, we just see someone that has something, we want it. We're not to envy. That shouldn't sway our thought one iota. We should be content with what God has given you. You need to be satisfied. This can also apply to someone else's gift. You know, I wish I could be merciful like Kathy. Man, I wish I could just really minister to people that way and be kind and loving and not so harsh sometimes. You know, but God gave you a gift for a specific person, and he gave Kathy a gift and Barry and Judy a gift for specific purposes. Be content with what you have. Learn to use the gift you have because God uses these to all work together. And sometimes we don't understand how that all works, but God does. But we need to be content with what you have, not envy other people. Sometimes envy turns into hatred or anger, and that can control us. And so for me, sometimes when I get angry, which I do, just ask Judy, if I get angry, I have to stop and think, you know, what's God trying to teach me? You know, what do I need to learn? And usually things are going through my brain all the time. We need to realize that there are certain things that when we see them in our lives, that this isn't what God desires. How did I get here? What do I need to change? How can God work in my life better? Also in verse 4, the fourth thing is love does not boast. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't think that you're better than others. The other one, next one in verse 4 is also love is not proud. I think they're very similar. But don't be bragging about the things you have. Well, gee, my gifting is this, and I can do this, and wow, can you do that? You know, that's not what God wants. These are gifts from God. It's God working through us, and we need to give him the credit. So don't boast, don't be proud. Don't feel good about yourself and belittle other people. If we go to verse 6, the first one there is love, and NIV says, love is not rude. That means no filthy language should come out of your mouth. You know, don't be too harsh in other people. Sometimes I think some of us tend to joke a lot. But I have to be careful sometimes that in joking, sometimes you can offend somebody. And so we got to be careful that we're not rude. The other thing is there should be nothing that's beneath us. Sometimes it's rude if I say, Dave, I don't want to wash your feet. That's just, I'm not going to get down my hands and knees to do that. Jesus did. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, got down on his hands and knees to minister to his disciples. So sometimes we want to be rude and not do something that God's asking us to do because it's beneath us. There's nothing that should be beneath us. The next one also, this is the seventh one, verse 5. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. Growing up, sometimes I would say I didn't always get along with my brother too well. In fact, often we didn't get along too well together. We have some brothers here. Do you guys get along okay? Lincoln, Trent, do you ever get at odds with one another? Here, Lincoln and Bryson. Okay, so why don't you get along with Bryson, Lincoln? I had to think about this in marriages and just being friends here. There's times as spouses that Judy and I would have disagreements. And so I think God gives us some things to do. And here's the first thing to do. So Judy and I have a disagreement. The first thing I need to do is not do what Judy wants. Everybody agree with that? Is that a good one? Now, don't fall asleep, because the second thing you need to do is not do what I want. So I'm not going to do what Judy wants. I'm not going to do what I want. Do you see where I'm going with this? What should we be doing? We need to be doing what God wants. And sometimes that might be what Judy wants. Sometimes it might be what I want, but a lot of times it's probably something different. And so when it says not to be self-seeking, don't seek after the things you want to do. Be seeking after what God wants you to do. That's not always easy, because God wants me to do things sometimes I don't want to do. But that's what love is, not being self-seeking and doing what God wants us to do. Verse 5, the eighth thing is, love is not easily angered. How do I respond if someone's mean to me? In my eyes, I think they're being mean to me. Or how do I respond if someone comes and tells me something I don't want to accept? Or how do I respond when I'm not getting along with somebody? Do I get angry? Anger is a red flag that we're living outside of God's will. Most of the time, Jesus got angry when he cleared the temple, but he only did that because of his great love for all the people. Usually when we get angry, it's not for a righteous reason. I like to sometimes tell myself it is, but often if we step back and look at why we're angry, it's not. And so when you're angry, step back and look at what you're doing, why you're doing it, why you're angry, and then ask God how he wants you to respond or what he wants you to do. Verse 5, the last one in verse 5, this is the ninth thing. Love keeps no record of wrongs. We're studying Revelation right now, some of us in the small group, and one of the things that Revelation says is one day there's going to be a day that Jesus has a book on everything you thought of, everything you ever did. He knows everything you've done in secret, and it's all going to be exposed someday. And I had to think about that. Is it going to be that way for us Christians? When we ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness, when we really mean that and ask him to do that, what's Scripture tell us? He forgets our sin as far as the east is from the west. So I don't know what's going to happen in Revelation, because it's far above what my brain can understand. But I almost have a feeling that Jesus is going to look at some of our, oh, there's nothing here, because my grace has paid it all and covered it. So how am I doing in that? Dave, do you remember that time 5 years ago that you did so-and-so? You know, if I can still remember that, that bugs me sometimes, because we're supposed to forgive. Nicole, you know, I know you're not too happy with me right now, but remember that time 3 years ago when you did this to me? You know, that's not what love is about. We don't bring up things from the past. We need to learn to forgive and forget. And you know, sometimes I don't always forget, but I'll say, you know, I forgave that person. I want to forget this. Satan keeps bringing it up. But love keeps no records of wrongs. Then we go to verse 6, the 10th thing. Love doesn't delight in evil. That sounds like a pretty simple thing to do. Love doesn't delight in evil. So that means when I do something wrong and the Holy Spirit kind of convicts me, oh well, you'll forgive me. Is that the response? We should be thinking, oh man, Lord, I blew it again. Help me not to ever do this again. That's what it means not to delight in evil. We need to start hating evil. I think Paul says, this is a scripture Judy and I memorized when we got married, Romans 12. Love is sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 12, I think, in Romans 12 or 11, somewhere in there. We have to hate, we have to resist evil. Don't delight in it. Injustices tend to bring us heartache. Even an injustice to an enemy, we should hate. We shouldn't delight in someone that is not a Christian. Maybe we don't know them, but sometimes we tend to delight in people failing because of their lifestyle and they deserve that. This is saying that don't delight in evil. Don't delight in evil. That's not always as easy as it seems. Verse 6, love rejoices with the truth. Was it Pilate that asked Jesus what is truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Jesus is the truth. So love rejoices with the truth. So rejoice when you find a new truth from God's word that maybe you just didn't recognize before and God reveals it to you. Rejoice when you learn those truths. Rejoice when truth is proclaimed. Rejoice in things that are factual and true. Sometimes today you don't know what to believe anymore because so many people are getting so good at lying. We need to really pursue and rejoice in the truth. Verse 7. Love protects others. Love protects others. Sometimes you may learn something about a brother or sister and ministering to them that it's not going to help to share that with anybody else. And so out of your love for that person, you're not going to share that with anybody. They might ask you to pray for something, and you'll pray for them, and you'll check in on them, but you're not going to share that with anybody because that's a way you protect someone you love. Love always trusts. Always trust what God is doing in your life. Always trust what he says in this book. This is a gift to us. And sometimes it's not easy to trust God when life's tough, when things are going wrong. But if we really love him, we're going to trust him. Love always trusts. Verse 7, the 14th thing is love always hopes. Love always hopes. What do we hope for? We hope for the promises of God that haven't been fulfilled yet. We hope for eternity with Jesus in heaven. We need to hope with joy and full confidence in those things that haven't come to pass yet. And sometimes that gets us through some rough times in life when we can hope in what God has in store for us. We have it pretty good here, but I think sometimes there are brothers and sisters in China or Iran. It's not always easy. It was kind of encouraging. We don't know what country that the Hornings were talking about last Sunday, but it's encouraging that God is opening doors in some countries like that. So no matter what circumstance, we always have hope. And the last one, love always perseveres. And again, no matter what circumstances you're facing, always persevere in loving God and loving your brothers and sisters. Not an easy task, is it? I thought after the first one, boy, this is pretty difficult, God. And then there were 14 other things after that. But if we want our gifts to work the way God intended, this is what we have to do as a body. We need to learn to love. And I think we do a pretty good job here of loving. But there's always room to improve. And so always strive to love more if you can. Then verse 8. Love never fails. Love never fails. Isn't that an encouraging message? If we love the way God intends, we're never going to fail. We're always going to be seeking to build others up. We're always going to be ministering to others. Love is what makes our gifts work. Love is what makes us function as a body the way God intends. If we all have that kind of love that God is teaching us in this chapter, we're not going to fail as a body. We're going to be able to do what God wants us to do. And so it comes down to love. And then to conclude, let's just jump ahead to verse 13. And now these three remain. The verses prior to that, I think Pauline read a little bit about it, but it talks about where there's prophecies, they'll cease. Someday there's not going to be any prophecies anymore. Where there are tongues, they're going to be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. You know, when we get to heaven, all the prophecies are going to have been fulfilled. There's not going to be a need for prophecy. There's not going to be a need for knowledge because we're going to be sitting at Jesus' feet. If you want to know anything, you just ask. There's not going to be a need for tongues because we're going to be in the presence of God. But love, faith, and hope will still exist in heaven. But of those three, love is the greatest. So God wants us to understand how important it is that we love others. Just some thoughts I had written down as I studied this. Maybe it'll be helpful to you. Love is all about action. If we're going to love, we're going to do something. If we love somebody, we're going to do something. Love is essential when we use our gifts. It's a way of life, and it's based on following Jesus Christ. The gifts we have are meant for others. We're not to revel in what we can do or how good we are at something, but we're to revel in the fact that the Holy Spirit's working through you, and the Holy Spirit is the one that gets the credit for all that happens. And so it's not about us. It's not about us, and I think we know that. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about our Heavenly Father. It's about the Holy Spirit working through us. And so let's learn to love on a deeper level. The more we love God, I think the more He's going to be able to work through us and minister through us. Let's pray. Father, this is a tough assignment, reading 1 Corinthians 13. It's not easy, because as we look at all these different things you want us to do, we see that we've fallen short. And Father, to be honest, we just can't love like you're asking us to. I don't think it's possible. And so we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would well up within us, and that you would love through us. Help us to love the way you desire. In our own capacity, I don't think we can do it. We need you to help us do this. And so as we leave today, as we go out into the world this week, to our jobs, to people that rubbing shoulders with people that don't know you, that need to know you, help us to love them. Love them through us, Father. Help us to just allow you to work through us, is what we ask in your name. Amen.